Welcome to this Easter Day service, coming to you from Bethany United Church of Christ in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. If you are viewing this service on Facebook, you will notice the beautiful decorations arranged by Margie and Debbie. Many thanks to them for helping with these flowers that are symbols of our faith and hope in the victory of God. I am joined at this service by Sue Wright and Rebecca Kesselring and Tim Rumble and Adrian Kotzko as worship leaders and music leaders, and we are grateful. Many thanks to the Bethany family for the mailing in of your offerings to Bethany Church here, with special thanks for exceeding $1,000 of gifts toward the Alzheimer's Project. Many thanks also to all who designated gifts in honor of or in memory of loved ones. I remind you for this service to have a copy of the bulletin ready for responses, as well as two hymns that we invite you to join in singing. Also to have your communion elements ready for that sacred time. And now please join us in the hymn, This Easter Celebration, a brand new hymn of lyric written by Carol Gillette for these days that we are living in. And so let us get our first hymn, This Easter Celebration, and let us sing together.
Thank you.
night, I invite you now to join with me in the call to worship. There are three times of this response. Alleluia, God is with us. So we're doing that together three times, and then we're closing the call to worship with the wonderful words, the Lord is risen, and your response, he is risen indeed. And so the first time, Alleluia, God is with us. Even when we crucify all goodness, God raises goodness again. Alleluia, God is with us. Even when we crucify all hope, God raises hope again. Alleluia, God is with us. Even when we crucify all light, God raises light again. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. My friends, on this Easter day, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in our times of need. Let us pray together the prayer of confession. Dear God, on this day of joy, we confess that we have not always witnessed to the joy of our faith. On this day of good news, we confess that we have not always witnessed to the good news of our faith. On this day of new life, we confess that we have not always witnessed to the new life of our faith. Forgive us, O God, of our silence and neglect to be your people. Hear now the sins of our lives and restore us to be your resurrected people. My friends, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Thanks be to God, our sins are forgiven. Amen. And now for this Easter service, the first reading, I'm reading from Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. So, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Now, when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early, on the first day of the week, they went to the tomb, just when the sun had risen. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away for us the stone from the door of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And going into the tomb, they saw a young man seated on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were terrified. He said to them, "Do not be afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go. Tell his disciples, and especially Peter, that he is going before you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you." And the women went out and fled from the tomb, for fear and astonishment had come upon them. And they said nothing to anyone, for
They were afraid, you see.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Someone comes up to you, perhaps a close friend, and says, I've got a problem. I don't know what to believe. I don't even know if I believe. You see, I'm a pretty average sort of person. I've lived a pretty normal kind of life. Nothing bad has really ever happened to me, but nothing all that miraculous has ever happened to me either. So I don't know what to believe. I don't know what to believe about God. If I could experience some kind of miracle, then I could possibly believe. Ever had that kind of talk with someone you know or even love? In the Gospels, there are two kinds of people who believe. There are Easter people, those who experienced the wonder and the mystery of the empty tomb and believed, like Thomas, my Lord and my God. Most of us would like to be Easter people. The excitement, the spiritual lift, that vibrant certainty of an Easter morning seems to be what we need to bring us to faith or to solidify our faith. But perhaps like this person, this example I mentioned when I began, most of us have not been given the opportunity to experience Easter firsthand. Most of us have lived pretty normal lives, spiritually as well, with little firsthand experience of the miraculous. Most of us must believe in a different way, because believe without proof, believe with a faith that does not wait for Easter. In this, you and I, we are in good company. For in the Gospel of Mark, we meet some people who did not need to experience Easter morning in order to be faithful. Mark introduces us to some Good Friday people who lived with Jesus through the pain, not the triumph. And for them, that was enough for faith. Who are these Good Friday people in an Easter world? Think back for a minute. Remember the events of that Friday we now call Good? Who stood by Jesus through the darkness of the cross? His disciples? Most likely his disciples. Peter, James, and John, the big three I called them, and the rest? Not. Mark's gospel is very definite in telling the story of our Lord's last week. All of the disciples drank the cup in the upper room. All of the disciples promised to die with Jesus. All of the disciples forsook him and fled. They ran away. They ran for their lives and left Jesus alone. Did any of those who followed Jesus on the long road from Galilee also follow him to the cross? Mark records that there were women looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph and Salome, and also many other women who came up with Jesus to Jerusalem. Only the women who were not thought to be worthy in their time to be called disciples, stood by Jesus at the cross. The men were full of brave words, but when the time of testing came, they were not there. While the women watched, the men were hiding away, waiting. They were waiting for Easter and for faith. The women of Good Friday were already faithful. But there were others who were full of faith that day, the most unlikely others you could possibly imagine. The only person at the cross to speak of faith was this Roman soldier who proclaimed, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." to carry out and make sure the crowd didn't interfere with the crucifixion. Words of faith came from this centurion who was in the company of those who crucified Jesus. Can you think of a more unlikely person to speak words of Good Friday faith? And yet he did. Another faithful person came to the cross that day. He came when Jesus was already dead. He came to claim Jesus' body for burial in his own tomb. His name was Joseph of Arimathea, and he is honored in our memories for his Good Friday faith. Yet who was Joseph? Mark states that he was a well-respected member of the council. And in the previous chapter, Mark says twice, just to be sure that we have heard it, that the whole council condemned Jesus to death. Joseph of Arimathea, one voice took the risk of providing that resting place for Jesus, short as that was. These, my friends, are the Good Friday people. These are Mark's faithful ones at the cross. A Jew who condemned Jesus, a Roman who took part in the crucifixion, women who were not afraid to watch him die. These unlikely people did not need the resurrection to call them to faith, for they were filled with the power of the cross. These Good Friday people were transformed by that power, a power great enough to turn even the most unlikely people into followers of the way. I think Mark worried about the disciples of Jesus who ran and fled and hid away on Good Friday, disciples who needed the experience of Easter morning to call them back to faith. I wonder about the Easter people, like those who were intrigued and attracted by Jesus' miracles, ran from the pain and despair of the cross, but then were drawn back by this miracle, this good news of Jesus' new life. Well, my friends, what about us when we look to Jesus for a way out of our troubles as a path to self-fulfillment or a guide to successful living? When the presence of God in our normal life just doesn't seem to be enough, and we go looking for some spiritual excitement or enlightenment, some spiritual high, which will help us believe. Mark's gospel contains very few words about the resurrection, but chapters about the cross. To be sure, Mark believes in the resurrection of Jesus. Mark believes in the power of the resurrection, but holds before you and me, us, the power of the cross as the center of our faith. The resurrection is like the light bulb flashing on in the brain, the aha, the yes, of course, to let others see what Good Friday people already knew. The resurrection is the bridge from the cross to a future of cross-bearing, but now with a Redeemer. That future is open to all, not just to the insiders, the experts in faith, those who have experienced miracles. For the insiders, the disciples and friends, they all ran away before the cross. They left Good Friday people, people just like us, normal people, ordinary people. They left unlikely followers, the Roman, Joseph, the women, people who, without the miracle of Easter, discovered for themselves an extraordinary faith. Are we not Good Friday people in an Easter world? That in a most skeptical world which demands proof, which says, give me a miracle and then I'll believe? We are called to have faith in the Lord of the cross. For 15 years after that first resurrection day, the church would search for understanding, deal with questions, unravel mysteries, until it would know the meaning of what God had done in their midst. And when the work was finally done, Paul put down the first summary of the Easter faith in his letter to the church in Corinth, to a church in his day, like churches in every day. that come to Easter with both doubts and questions, for us especially this year. Paul brings a word of certainty. In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. My friends, the message is clear. If the power of sin can do its worst at the cross, if it can wreak its fury on the very Son of God, and then God break that power, carry away the gates of hell and death, turn Black Friday into Good Friday, and transform an instrument of shame and dishonor into a triumphal symbol of power and love, then you and I, here we have the one. Here we have the one who has the power over sin, who can overcome the grip of sin and death by his forgiveness. Because of the power found in the resurrection, Paul declares, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. So my friends, and even people I do not even know as friends, on this glorious day, my advice to you is this: rise up and live, even in the midst of this current time. The truth is that God has made it possible in the name of the living Christ for us to live beyond the meaninglessness, routine, and those deadening schedules so common in our lives. We can claim and affirm that living hope which is ours in Christ. Rise out of sin to redemption. Rise out of hatred to love. Rise out of despair to hope. Rise out of routine to adventure. Rise out of self to service. Rise out of meaninglessness to purpose. Rise up from deadness to life. Rise up from defeat to the victory of God. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. I invite us now to a time of prayer, and I have a number of prayer petitions, and so I call you to this time of silent prayer after I share these concerns. This day and every day we pray for the many suffering people with the COVID-19 virus. We pray for the many families who have lost loved ones. We pray for the medical teams and the first responders who are heroes on the front lines of battling disease. For the military here and around the world, for anxious and fearful hearts everywhere, for an end to this health crisis. For our churches and faith communities, that they may discover what it truly means to be the church. For that ministry that continues with the homeless in ways large and small. For the unemployed, that they may hold on to hope and be granted support. Prayer requests that have come in to me: Dick Roberts, for his neighbors, Robert and Roberta Moyer. From a friend from college days asked you to remember Holly, who tested positive for the virus and has an 89-year-old mother living with her, as well as Holly's husband, both feeling sick. I ask you to remember my niece, Jennifer, also Jean's cousin's wife, Sarah. These on our Bethany family homebound list: Bob Bauder, Lillian Connors, Dorothy Kramer, Louise Snyder, Harold Maurer, Carol Haynes, Dolly Ackerman, Joyce Hammer, Joyce Berge, Kenneth and Joan Mathias, Marie Wolf, also her son Dennis, and Gerald Smith. Gracious Lord, on this gladsome day, our feelings are mixed. We wish to shout for joy, and yet we want to be quiet in the face of such great mystery. Here we pray both those exuberant shouts of our voices and the quiet feelings of our hearts. Death has been overcome by life. Love has triumphed over hatred. Light has triumphed over darkness. We thank thee, O God, for the wonder and the glory of this triumphant and victorious day. Teach us, O God, the lessons of Easter that has brought to light life and immortality. We remember Jesus, who is the first and the last, who was dead and is alive forever. Because he lives, we too shall live. In him we have the gift of life eternal. Grant us faith to live as victors, not as vanquished. Give us joy in the triumph that he has won for us. Forbid that we continue to live life at a poor, dying rate, when in fact we are becoming more and more alive because of his triumph over death, darkness, and death. We rejoice, O Lord our God, to be fully alive and to be inheritors of new life. Accept our thanks for hope that neither wavers nor fades away. We accept by faith the life that is not under dominion of death, but is open to expectation and promise. Receive our praises, Almighty God, for Jesus Christ, who abides in our world. It is now his conquered territory. We live in his world under his authority. As those who live because he lives, we would be true to him who gives us new life. With our voices, grant us courage to proclaim enduring hope. In our being, inspire us to live as servants. With joy in ourselves, teach us to announce that hope which endures. Under the rule of the living Christ, we desire to live together as your people, loving and serving one another and others. By your Spirit, enable us so to live. We delight to be your church, setting forth your purpose and showing forth your will for all human life. Be with us, O God, and with all on this glorious day of resurrection. Raise our minds to those things that are above, where Christ is. Make all of our life a song and an expression of this great victory. We pray in the name of him who is dead and is alive forever. This Jesus who taught his disciples and us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Beloved in Christ, the gospel tells us that on the first day of the week, Jesus Christ was raised from death, appeared to Mary Magdalene, on that same day sat at the table with two disciples and was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the joyful feast of the people of God. Men and women, youth and children come forth from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and gather about Christ's table. Let us pray. Eternal and loving God, we unite in this covenant of faith, recalling Christ's suffering and death, rejoicing in his resurrection and awaiting his return in victory. Your table has been spread with these gifts of the earth and of our labor. And we present to you our very lives, committed to your service in behalf of all people. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit on this bread and this cup, on our gifts and on us. Strengthen your universal church, that it may be the champion of peace and justice in all the world. Restore the earth with your grace that is able to make all things new. Be present with us as we share this meal and throughout all our lives, that we may know you as the Holy One, who with Christ and the Holy Spirit lives forever. Jesus, at that Passover meal with his disciples and then after his resurrection, took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is for you." And so I invite you to take your bread. This is the body of Christ, our resurrected and living Lord, our Savior and friend. Take and eat the body of Christ for you. And in the same way, Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. This is the blood of Christ, the cup of salvation for you and for the world. Take and drink the blood of Christ. Prayer of thanksgiving is provided in your bulletin. Let us pray. We thank you, God, for inviting us to this table, where we have known the presence of Christ and have received all Christ's gifts. Strengthen our faith, increase our love for one another, and let us show forth your praise in our lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Let us sing together the Easter hymn. who brought back again from the dead our Lord Jesus, equip you and me with all that we need for doing God's will, and may God bring healing and life to the world. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed.